This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is this place going to go crazy in 19 minutes?
I see what you said. I get that.
How many people get that? Raise your honk your horn.
Not very many.
Yeah,
if you did, honk your horn.
Dan, did you get that joke?
Especially if you're out by Northfield Park.
Yeah.
No, that one I don't.
Probably one of the best ad campaigns, I think, of. It's still memorable, right?
I remember the
biggest Cleveland ad campaigns, like Garfield 12323, right? That was an easy one.
Yeah.
That and one I remember.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't remember every 19 minutes this place goes crazy?
No, I don't remember every 19 minutes.
Well, I'll never forget that.
It was
that.
A Northfield Park ad campaign.
Yeah, it was good.
I remember going to Northfield when I was in high school, just out of high school, with my buddy Charlie Brown, literally.
His name was literally Charlie Brown.
Yeah, okay. And
that wasn't a nickname.
Good grief.
Charlie, his parents named him Charles.
Yeah.
His parents should have been.
His dad's name was Charles.
And so he
good
wants
folks,
it, he
really
wanted his
folks.
Kid to have the same misery he did.
So we went out, and I'll always remember, there was a 52-1 shot that I bet on because I liked the name and the color that he was wearing. That was my big Newmarket Duke.
And you won $52.
Yeah, I won like $20 or something. I don't know.
What would you bet, 50 cents?
I don't know. Oh. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. By the way, before we get into anything more, the NFL, according to Tom Pelissero, has fined the Atlanta Falcons $250,000.
What?
And fined their defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich, $100,000.
$100,000.
For leaking the phone number of Shedeur Sanders, leading to Ulbrich's son, Jax, J-A-X,
yeah,
taking the number and making that prank call to Sanders during the
How about
draft.
Just saying he got fined and not actually fining him the cash? That's ridiculous.
They fined the dad $100,000. Way to go, Jax. Nice job, pal.
Isn't that excessive?
Guess you're paying for your own senior year of college. Oh, and Jeff Thomas.
Wow,
Jeff's like
the Falcons made a statement.
What'd they say, Andy?
We appreciate the NFL's swift and thorough, spelled wrong, review of the of last week's data exposure and the event that transpired due to it. We were proactive in addressing the situation internally and cooperated fully with the league throughout the process and accept the discipline levied to coach Jeff Ulbrich and the organization. We are confident in our security policies and practices and will continue to emphasize adhere to them with our staff, whether it's on or off premises. Additionally, the Ulbrich family is working with the organization to participate in community service initiatives in relation to last week's matter.
So there you have that.
I have a great story that's similar, but I can't. I need to get permission before I can share it. It's one of those behind-the-scenes stories where someone else took a phone number from someone that they shouldn't have to call one of their favorite players when they were a kid. After the, I can tell the story.
Mason Graham got pranked, too.
Did he?
He's going to be on the afternoon show at 6 o'clock. I hope they ask him about it.
Oh, well, was there going to be a fine coming from it? Like, what if the kid hadn't said anything? Fess up to it?
I don't know.
Unless there must have been a return number on the other side.
You think so?
Well, maybe, maybe that's how he got busted. But going back to my story, there was a situation where somebody had access to a professional athlete's number when they were a kid because their father had it. I can tell the story without giving names. And their father had the number because they were friends with a professional athlete that played on the team that had just lost in the playoffs. And the kid was really young.
And how old were you?
It wasn't me. Trust me, my dad didn't know any pro athletes other than the ones that might have looked up at him when he was running a little scoreboard at the stadium and said, "What are you doing up there?" And so anyway, the professional athlete showed up Sunday after this happened with an autographed jersey because the kid called and left a message crying because they were sad that the team lost and felt really bad for the player who was a really, really good player. And the player showed up at their house with an autographed jersey, knocked on the door. The father who had the number came to the door and said, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And he's like, "Hey, is your child home?" And he was like, "Why?" He goes, "Your child was extremely heartbroken over the loss in the playoffs, so I wanted to bring them a jersey, an autographed jersey." And the player did bring the autographed jersey to the child, and then the child, I think, got grounded for like a month is what the child told me. At the time, was a child.
Okay.
It might be a little better if you actually knew the real names, but it was just one of those situations where someone took a number.
You've left me wanting more, Andy. That's the key to good entertainment.
Thank you. That's it. Thanks, Jeff.
Brian Baldinger was on the morning show with him, so. Ken and Anthony today. And Brian, of course, a former offensive lineman in the NFL and has had a long media career. He works with NFL.com right now and does a lot of stuff. And he's really good. He's on the NFL Network. And Brian's been on our show before. We like him a lot. And Dano, oh, by the way, Brian Baldinger went to high school at Massapequa.
Oh, I just went to their game.
In New York.
I went to all their high school football games. It was great.
And in his graduating class, Tim Van Patten, the actor and director, Brian Setzer from the Stray Cats.
Really?
And Jessica Hahn from the Jim Baker scandals back in the day.
Wow.
That was some graduating class right there. Anyhow, Baldy was on the morning show,
Wait,
Dano.
Van Patten, though, was the father of the Eight is Enough.
Dick Van Patten.
Was that his father?
Andy, you're asking questions that we don't know the answer to on the air.
So what was the Van Patten?
I just said he was an actor, Tim Van Patten, who he graduated with. And is he this guy's dad? Is he his guy's son? Blah, 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 blah,
blah. I think he is. Yeah,
Dick
looks
Van
just
Patten
like
his dad. Is his half-brother. There you go. And Joyce Van Patten is his half-sister, who was on the Rockford Files playing a really annoying groupie.
Oh,
Dano,
Dick was
what
his
did
brother.
Baldy say on the morning show today?
Yeah, let's get the tires stuck
Thank
out of the
you.
Mud here a little bit.
Well, you guys drove the car off the road.
No, I mentioned...
Well, give us a shot.
I mentioned Tim Van Patten, and all of a sudden, let's see, I was Eight is Enough. That Grant Goody was
who
a hell of a guy.
Who the hell knows who Tim Van Patten is?
I did.
Okay, party of one. Phelps, party of one.
You know who Brian Setzer is?
Of course I know who Brian Setzer is.
Straight Cat Strut, baby.
Met him in 97
you know
during the World
Jessica
Series.
You know who Jessica
Hahn is? Oh, everybody knows who Jessica Hahn is.
Yeah, go ahead, Dana. What ball do you have to say?
Save us, Brian Baldinger. You're our only hope.
Yes.
He was asked, what's the plan?
Apparently it wasn't much.
I don't know what the plan is. I don't know why you would draft a quarterback with the 94th pick and then draft another one with the last name Sanders 50 picks later. I don't know why anybody would do that. So I don't know what the plan is. Dylan Gabriel is an accomplished quarterback. I think I saw him at the Senior Bowl. He looked too small to me to be able to really be a factor at that position. There is some requirements height-wise, I think, to really be efficient. But, I mean, he's played 65 or 66 games in college. He was a really good player. It's hard enough to develop a rookie quarterback as it is, and then to draft two of them so close together, it's really kind of mystifying. So, I still don't understand it. I just know that if you want to try and accurately figure out is it Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, your number two or number three or whatever quarterback it is, it's a hard thing to do. It's hard to, there's only so many reps. There's only so many plays. There's just such little time to actually evaluate these guys. Kyle Shanahan said in San Francisco that he thought Brock Purdy was better than Trey Lance. It's 2 weeks into camp, and he couldn't do anything about it. I don't know how they're going to make this evaluation. I heard Kevin and Andrew talk about it, and they said, we'll have a plan. I don't know how you come up with a plan to figure out who's your best quarterback, who's your backup quarterback in this scenario right now.
That's Brian Baldinger from The Morning Show with Ken and Anthony. I'll tell you what the plan is.
Oh, Jeff has the plan. Go ahead, Andrew, tell us.
The plan is this. We have no idea who our quarterback's going to be. So if we can add one more to the mix, maybe he's the guy. And let's let him compete and find out. That's the plan. Now, whether it's a good plan or not, you can bring that in.
I read about that plan in college.
If you don't have one.
See what sticks to the wall.
Bring in four and see what sticks. Andy, isn't that the plan?
I have no idea what the plan is. I don't. The only thing I really think is that Kenny Pickett is probably the starting quarterback. Like, okay,
and
what
if
what
not
won't
Kenny,
shock me?
Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
And if it's one of the rookies, then by God, you have something.
I don't. And then seriously, after Mary Kay's thing, she's got me thinking that Shedeur Sanders could get cut.
Andy, if it's
I can't believe they would cut the guy who's number three in jersey sales out of this draft.
Doesn't matter. If
it doesn't?
If one of the rookies ends up being the starter, then you really have something.
Last time I checked, it was still a business.
They don't need extra jerseys. They need a quarterback that can win football games, and they'll make even more money.
If he goes out there and plays well, let's just say they start him game one, and he has a really good game. You think he'd be in a commercial by the next week? You betcha. He'd be all over TV. He's already all over TV. You think someone's not saying, oh, well, our product could use that swagger.
What else did Baldy have to say, Dana?
Well, the guys then asked him to give him a little bit of advice to Shedeur Sanders and the situation that he is in.
If Shedeur is going to make this team, if he's going to be a starting quarterback in this league, it has to start with his work ethic, commitment, his love of the game. All that stuff has to come through, and then the talent has to ultimately come through. And so you're going to find out, is he really an accurate quarterback? Can he throw the ball in Cleveland weather or Cincinnati weather or Baltimore weather in December, in January, when the wind's coming off the lake and everything else you got to deal with? Can you get it to you? I know Joe Flacco can still throw a football. Is he still the best option at age 40? It's kind of hard to believe that's what you're leaning on right now, but that's what they're leaning on. It's not easy. They've made it difficult on themselves drafting both guys. But for Shedeur, you got to maximize every single rep. I told people, I think there's an Embassy Suites hotel right across the street from Berea there or nearby. Like, he should check into the Embassy Suites, and he should just immerse himself in the playbook, getting to know the teammates, talking to Bill Musgrave every day, talking to Stefanski, really understanding the offense inside and out to give him the best opportunity to be as good as possible, as quickly as possible.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I must tell you, my phone has been blowing up here.
Oh, look at this. Do you remember when he just had a regular phone before he went to a smartphone?
I've got a real phone. But my phone's blowing up. And, Dan, it appears that we could be getting into some legal trouble here. Can we do something to make sure we don't get into legal trouble with this?
What are you talking about?
In accordance with the Radioactive 1927 Equal Time for Dylan Gabriel.
We don't want to get sued by the FCC or anybody, so equal time here. Dylan Gabriel is from Mililani, Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bedroom community outside of Honolulu on the island of Oahu.
Hope
it's the third wealthiest zip code in Hawaii. So there's some equal time for Dylan Gabriel. We kind of need to balance this out.
We do?
Well, it's the Radioactive 1927. You've got to balance things. You have to, you know, give each side an opportunity. So we're going to do that.
You do realize that was 90 years ago?
Well, it's still in existence, Andy. That's why my phone's blowing up, and I don't want to get sued. You want to get sued?
Well,
you want to get sued? I'm covering your butt.
You think so? You're the only person I know that has a mobile rotary phone.
Robert Mays has been with us many times before. He's outstanding. He's from the Athletic Football Show. What does he think about what Baldy had to say? What does he think about what the Browns did? Mays next, Baskin and Phelps.